And we're going to be speaking with Mike Fogel. And Mike is, along with his wife Valerie, owns the Money Creek Buffalo Ranch down there in Houston, Minnesota. And it's going to be just great to have him aboard. Mike, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Thank you, Buck. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, you caught my eye in the Minneapolis paper, I don't know, maybe a month ago or so, with a picture of that wild Russian boar named Lloydy. What a critter he is.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah, we got a lot of positive feedback about that, plus a lot of orders for the wild boar.
Including one from me.
Yes, so. Absolutely.
Can you tell us, tell our folks, first maybe I should preview your ranch a little bit. You have the Money Creek Buffalo Ranch, and as it says in the title, of course, you have buffalo at the ranch. You have, I think, 250 head about. You also have the wild Russian boars that we're going to talk more about, and also Scottish Highland cattle. It's kind of a eccentric group of breeds there. How did you get involved with things other than maybe Black Angus?
Well, I was always interested in unique animals, and besides the buffalo and the Scottish Highlanders, we have the Russian boar. We have some other heritage breeds. We have the Swabian Hall, and we have the Mishan, which comes from China, and the Osaba that come off the Osaba Island out by South Carolina. These pigs and the buffalo and the Scottish Highlanders, you can't raise in feedlots and mass production like a lot of the domestic breeds are being raised. And that's one of the reasons that makes the meat so tasty and healthy, and there's no additives, no steroids, no hormones. And, you know, people are really interested in what they're eating. I think our food supply is probably in not real good shape because of you know, a lot of the steroids, additives, getting to market as fast as they can. We grow it slow.
Can you tell us a little bit about wild Russian boars, what they look like, you know, how big they are, and what's unique about them?
Well, one thing is they've got long hair. They got a snout that's fairly long. One of the things about pigs is they all derived from the wild boar. And pigs, when they go into the wild, they will morph. Their noses will become longer, and they'll become, you know, they'll root. And the flavor, because they eat a lot of roughage plants, and we don't give them the real hot feed, the corn. We give them, you know, like haylage, and give them alfalfa hay, and we have some grain we give them, but a big part of it's the feeding, not to mention the breed. They're slower growing, and you know, it takes longer. One disadvantage about the Russian wild boar is they have a 7-month gestation period versus the 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 days as domestic swine do. But by breeding them with the Mishan and the Osaba, we've come up with breeds that have a shorter gestation period.
So it doesn't take you so long to bring them to market then, is that
your point
there?
No, it doesn't. We specialize in the wild boar because, well, like in Minnesota, the last time I checked, there was only two other producers in the whole state that were allowed to raise the Russian boar. At one time, they got outlawed in Minnesota, and I was raising them at the time. I had quite a few of them, so I was grandfathered in. I'm very fortunate because we kind of got a little bit of corner on the wild boar in Minnesota, for sure.
Now, I think they were affected by the restricted species legislation, weren't they?
Yes, they were. You know, and I've got some real mixed feelings about that because, you know, there are feral swine, which are pigs that are were domestic and have gotten in the wild, and they've become wild. And the Russian pig that we raise is actually a breed. I mean, it's a leaner pig. The meat is redder. It's more like beef. The texture and the flavor is the restaurants we supply it to. They tell us that its distinct flavor can't be duplicated with any other breeds.
Mm-hmm. Now, the restricted species legislation, I think, is just to keep them from getting out into the wild and doing what they've done, like in Texas with other species of wild boars. But you have these pretty well situated where they can't go anywhere in these. Can you tell us a little bit about how you handle them with your concrete structures?
Well, we have a lot higher fences. One thing about these animals is they're very athletic. They can jump. They're very fast. If you've ever worked with domestic pigs and you start working with these, you ain't going to believe it because the speed and the agility, they're incredible. So we have taller fences, better gates. We have, you know, a fence around a compound around our pens so we don't get any that get out because, you know, they are afraid they'll get in the wild and they'll do damage and they will, but it's not like in Texas, you know, in Minnesota here we got the cold weather, so
they'd have a long trot to get to Texas.
Yeah, they'd have a little bit rougher time up here than they do down there.
Yeah. You mentioned about the quality of the meat, and as I understand, looking at your website, they're quite low in saturated fat and quite high in protein.
Yeah, they really are. We supply some real high-dollar restaurants in St. Paul, and they take like four a week up there, so we just are having a hard time keeping up with the market. You know, there's no way to do it fast, so we just, you know, we've got our program that we raise so many a year, and that's it. We'll take orders, but you know, we just never be able to mass produce them.
Mm-hmm. You also have buffalo there, and of course Scottish Highland cattle. Tell us a little bit about the buffalo and how they differ. Did you ever raise other domestic cattle so that you have a feel for what the difference is between them and having buffalo around?
Well, yeah, I grew up on a farm, had to get up and milk the dairy cows.
You're not milking any buffalo, are you?
No, we don't. That'd
You'd have to be quick.
Tricky.
Yeah.
I've had the buffalo for 35 years. I really enjoy the animal. They're so interesting. They've got a social structure, and we just kind of leave them alone. We don't dehorn them. We don't give them steroids or hormones. We feed them all natural feed, and the meat is excellent. It's healthy. We supply a lot of food stores and people that can't eat domestic meat, and they're able to eat the buffalo. It's higher in protein, less calories, less cholesterol. It's just all around healthy. We do a full line of products, you know, the jerky and the sausage, the summer sausage, and we just have a full line of products.
We're speaking with Mike Fogel, and Mike is, along with his wife Valerie, have got Money Creek Buffalo Ranch down in Houston, Minnesota. We're talking about some of the heritage species, the breeds that he produces, such as Wild Russian Boar and Buffalo. A couple years ago, Mike, we did a story on a buffalo herd in Dakota that decided to just go south, and they couldn't do anything to really stop them. They tried a whole bunch of things. Finally, the buffalo just turned around and went back home. Do you remember that story at all?
I don't remember, but I know that that story is not uncommon. I mean, it happens. When people have buffalo, the first thing when they get out, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll get on motorcycles and horses and start chasing them. The thing is, the buffalo, they like their security, and if they're fed good, the best fence is a good feeding program and a good pasture. If they get out, you just don't get excited, don't start chasing, put some feed out there. Usually they'll come back because they feel secure in their pasture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they went a couple of states down before they finally turned around. They were over in Missouri.
Yeah.
Hopefully you haven't had any problems like that. I guess they like what you're feeding them.
Oh, I have had problems. I've gotten calls at 2 in the morning, and people say there's buffalo up here by the interstate. And there's nothing that scares you more from a dead sleep than somebody saying there's buffalo out. I mean, that's something you don't like to hear. But we've been very fortunate. When they have gotten out, we've always gotten them back. And we've got a little bit of a unique herd. We've got several tame animals that we raised, and we did the movie Dances with Wolves and Radio Flyer and the Energizer commercial and the Subway commercial.
And that was with Cody?
Yeah, with Cody. I had him in Washington, D.C. when they came out with a new buffalo nickel.
you did.
And the last commercial we did, well, we did the Taco John commercial. Probably a lot of the listeners have seen that one, where the guy's trying to pull the buffalo in the van. And then we did a commercial just this winter up by up in northern Minnesota for Pray for Mother Nature Jeans. We haven't seen the commercial yet, but that's one that should be coming out.
Boy, you quite a movie star you got there.
Yeah, he's been definitely a big asset. My first Cody was 20 years old when he died, and I did most of the movies. We have another one we're working with now, and we take him to events and fairs and stuff, and he's kind of taken over Cody's footsteps.
You know, my co-host and producer here, Ann Passas, has been talking about coming down to take a little ride with Cody. Is that possible?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
We had, 2 years ago, we had Best of America by horseback here, and the guy that Tom Say that is the star of the show, he rode him down here, and we got pictures of him. And in fact, this summer, we're going to do a ride, a distance ride for Guinness Book of Records, and Valerie's going to ride the buffalo. And, no one's ever did this for any amount of distance, so we're going to just see how far we can go with it.
Mike, this is Ann. I'm a city girl at heart, and so I didn't even know you could ride a buffalo. Is that pretty common?
No, it's very, very unusual. A buffalo, they're totally different than a domestic cow. They're more, if people that are familiar with horses and mules, they're more like a mule. If you ever heard them, or if you ever, they work on trust. And I realize they're a dangerous animal. I mean, I don't take a lot of chances with them because, they have been known to hurt people.
Hmm. Well, if she comes down, should she bring her own blanket, or you got a saddle for her?
Well, we use the regular saddle, and he rides just like a horse. I mean, he neck reins, he backs up, he'll do the barrels. He comes right in the house.
He comes right in the house?
Oh yeah, he's almost a ton, and he's a big pet. He's just got that kind of disposition. But like I say, that's so unusual to have that. So I'm very fortunate that he has that kind of disposition.
Boy, you better keep some oats in the kitchen, I think.
Yeah, well, the other one, my original Cody, he used to eat Oreo cookies. That was his big treat.
That's great.
This one now, we've got him eating healthier. He likes apples, so.
Well, I'm glad you're thinking about Cody, too.
Yeah.
You know, that's really great. There's something I don't know much about, and that's Scottish Highland cattle. And I saw something on your website, you know, big horns and, you know, that hump on their back, I think. And what the heck are they?
The Scottish Highlander, they come from Scotland. They're a breed that's suited to very rough country, poor grass and rough country. They're actually a grazer and a forager. They'll eat, like box elder leaves. They'll eat burdocks. They'll eat thistles. They eat a lot of the weeds and forage that domestic cattle won't eat, including buffalo. They're very easy on the pasture, and they're hardy animal. They got long hair. They don't have a fat cover. That's one of the reasons the long hair. So they're a lot leaner, and they've got a unique flavor. And a herd of cattle, you call it a herd, but a group of Highlanders, you call it a fold. So they're just a little bit different than domestic cattle, and they're so easy going. You know, a lot of people see the horns, they think they're probably mean, but they're not. They're just so easy going when they get out or anything. You just put them right back in again. So I really enjoy them, and the meat is catching on, and we've been doing a lot of the animals for meat.
Wow. Yeah, it's a pretty unique bunch of animals you got down there in Houston, Minnesota. And, of course, we're talking with Mike Fogel from the Money Creek Buffalo Ranch down in Houston, Minnesota. We should talk a little bit about how people can purchase the meat that you create down there. You've got a website, I think, and that's mainly where people can look at.
Yeah, we've got a website. It's called buffalogal.com. And I've been in the buffalo business for 35 years. When the computers started, we kind of developed the website, and most of our sales now are on the website. We don't do a lot of wholesale because we really don't have to. It's a nice part about the website is. I used to have to call up grocery stores or brokers, and if I'd be long on a product like Buffalo Gal, now what we'll do is we'll send an email to all of our customers, and we'll pass the savings directly to the customers. So it works out good for us, and it works out good for the customers. So it's really been a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, people can receive those things still frozen, and
Absolutely.
They don't have to worry about that.
No, we ship on Mondays and Tuesdays, and we use insulated boxes with dry ice, and we ship all over the country. We ship maybe from 100 to 300 packages a week.
And people can also read about your tours and the cabin that you have available down there, and kind of the ambiance that is created by a farm like yours on your website?
Yes, that's true. We've got a cabin that we rent out. A lot of the people that purchase buffalo meat, they'll come and they'll be able to stay in the cabin, look out the window, see the buffalo, and just see the way we raise the animals. I feel positive about these small farms. I think it's a way that the small farms can maybe have a niche where we're not going to lose all our small farms, and that's what I'm hoping, because there is a big demand out there for the meat, and people are interested in eating healthy.
Well, once again, we've been speaking with Mike Fogel, and he and his wife, Valerie, run Money Creek Buffalo Ranch down in Houston, Minnesota. Mike, we want to thank you so much for giving us your time tonight and being so much fun to talk to.
Well, hey, thanks for calling, Buck. I really appreciate it, and you take care.
Yeah, best of luck.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.